President Clinton's health care legacy will be affected by his failure to enact sweeping reform. But hidden by that failure are some quiet successes, efforts that resulted in better health care for children and for people with physical and mental disabilities. This week, Morning Edition is running reports and commentaries reviewing President Clinton's two terms in the White House. NPR's Joanne Silberner reports on changes in the nation's health care system over the last 8 years.
In the political opera of Washington, health care for decades had been relegated to the chorus. But in 1991, health care surprisingly played a crucial role in a close Senate race. And by 1992, the issue was ready for the national stage. Presidential candidate Bill Clinton promised at a political forum in Florida to make sure everyone could get and pay for health care.
This is not just a problem of coverage. It's a preeminent problem of cost. It's not simply a health care problem. It's a massive economic problem. We're spending 13% of our income on health care. And yet here in Florida, 2.3 million people have no insurance. 30% of the uninsured are children.
Mr. Clinton won the election, put his wife in charge of designing a plan. 500 analysts worked in secret to develop a blueprint. When the plan was finally released in September of 1993, Mrs. Clinton testified on Capitol Hill in its defense.
I'm here as a mother, a wife, a daughter, a sister, a woman. I'm here as an American citizen, concerned about the health of her family and the health of her nation.
But even some Democrats worried that the plan might hurt small businesses by requiring them to insure their workers. Republicans sharply criticized Mrs. Clinton for the complexity of her 1,300-page plan. Still, she won kudos from both sides for her presentation. And at the President's State of the Union speech to Congress a few months later, Mr. Clinton was optimistic.
So this year, we will make history by reforming the health care system. And I would say to you, all of you, my fellow public servants, this is another issue where the people are way ahead of the politicians.
Except public support was already starting to waver, and it weakened further as the health insurance industry waged an all-out campaign against the president's plan. Ultimately, it became clear there would be no grand reform. It was a humiliating defeat for the president. But even so, he didn't give up on health care. He and Congress turned to the impending financial crisis in the Medicare program for the elderly and disabled. Once again, they couldn't agree on a plan. But Clinton was able to make some substantial changes on his own, says Marilyn Moon, a former Medicare trustee. His administration cracked down on Medicare fraud, saving billions, and he took some political heat in allowing a reduction in payments to doctors and hospitals.
Those two things combined with a strong economy meant that the outlook for Medicare is substantially better than it was. That gives people the room and the time to figure out what to do next.
And it wasn't just Medicare where Clinton found ways to work independently of Congress. Trish Riley, an expert on state health programs, says he allowed states to do their own health care reform.
He also relieved some of the rigidity of the Medicaid program and allowed states more flexibility and more creativity in making people eligible for the Medicaid program.
And Riley gives the president credit for supporting a program that ensures the children of the working poor.
We shouldn't underestimate how important it is that the Congress passed the Children's Health Insurance Program very quickly, a $24 billion investment, which was the biggest uninsured initiative since 1965 when the Medicaid program was created.
Mr. Clinton used executive orders, administrative decisions, and behind-the-scenes support to enact incremental change so that now, for example, people with disabilities don't lose their government health insurance when they go back to work. Federal employees and their dependents are insured for mental as well as physical ailments, and doctors can now prescribe RU486 for early abortions. Congress and the president also worked out a smaller plan to help people keep their health insurance, says Marilyn Moon.
In 1996, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, which people call HIPAA, essentially helped folks who had good group insurance.
So even if they had health problems, they could switch jobs without risking the loss of insurance. But it didn't help people who were uninsured to start with. Mr. Clinton put health care into the limelight, but he's leaving his successor with some of the same problems that existed when he took office. A high number of uninsured people. In fact, the number increased by 4 million during his term. An uncertain economy and rising health care costs. Ironically, says Moon, the weakening economy might provide a new impetus for health reform. as the middle class worries once again about their ability to get and pay for health care. Joanne Silberner, NPR News, Washington.